Very interesting. I mean, this whole, like, sorry, before you
sorry, go
on.
Ahead,
yeah,
go.
Just hold on to that.
You paused there, so I'm like, okay, play it.
Yeah. All right, play it. Go ahead. Now I've lost.
When the owl asks who, the answer is always him. It's time for the most interesting man in the world, Fish Talk with the Duck.
I've told you, I'm organic in nature. You can't stop an organic growth like this.
Yeah, but I don't like...
You're impeding my growth.
I don't like silent pauses on air. It sounds really awkward. So I'm like, oh, okay, you paused there. Let's play the bumper.
No, but it was a pause. It was drama. That was all designed to come out that way. And then you go plop a piece of music in the middle of it. I don't get it.
Pause. Go.
Now. All right. Now, speaking of music, that music tells me our very own in-house fishing expert. We call him the Doc here. His name is Gord Peiser. He is the fishing editor. May I add, if I could, see that pause? Did you see that? award-winning fishing editor for the Outdoor Canada magazine, Canada's only national publication dealing with the outdoors, fishing, hunting, camping, anything in the outdoors. Joining us now is the Doc. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Ange. Did you just call yourself a growth?
Oh, yeah, I did. That's good. That's good. You should hear what I usually call myself, buddy. That's good. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Well, we've got a little bit of the north down here today, I got to tell you. She's a little nippy, my friend.
I have a lot of friends around the Lake Simcoe area. Will Wegman, Dave Chong, Brian Atkin, a whole bunch of guys, and they've been chomping at the bit to get out. So we thought, what the heck, we'll send it down from the Great Northwest.
Thank you. Oh, boy. Obviously, things are frozen and cool up in your neck of the woods.
They are, Ange, but I got to tell you, we had the neatest... I have to be honest, something I have never, ever seen before the way it happened last Sunday. We got cold weather here before we got snow, and what happened is the lakes froze, and you've been on them. They freeze. You almost, it's like walking on glass.
Yeah.
So when you look through the ice, even though we actually had about 12, 14 inches of ice,
wow.
When we shoveled off, you would have thought you were walking on water. So
wow.
Liam and I, we were out ice fishing. We were fishing for trout, Ange, and we were checking the various depths from the bottom, working our way up, and we had the hut flipped over. So you know how dark it is inside the hut. It's almost like looking into a television. And we had a huge lake trout came swimming through, maybe 3-4 inches under the ice, pectoral fins displayed. It was just like a great white shark coming right under our boots, and he didn't have a clue we were there.
He didn't have a clue you were there. Now, that's because the hut covered the sun.
Yeah.
It prevented the light from getting to him, right?
Exactly, but it's almost like it's brighter when you're looking down because you're in a dark hut. And I've talked many times. I honestly believe this is the single most overlooked lake trout pattern of all. They use the bottom of the ice as though it's the bottom of the lake. And so they come swimming through. We were in 65 feet of water. They come swimming in, but they're relating right to the bottom of the ice. And when you think how clear most lake trout lakes are, crystal clear, it's looking ahead, and it can see all the way to the bottom. So it's got that phenomenal, tremendous field of view, and it's relating. I always call it bottoms up. They're relating to the bottom, even though the bottom's up on top of the lake. It was the most amazing thing, and it circled around. Its pectoral fins were away out. I'm guessing it was about 18, 19 pounds, and it was it was like a lion on the savannah. It was amazing.
Wow, what a great scene that would have been. You didn't get video by any chance?
We didn't. Well, actually, Liam got the camera on. It's crappy video, and you can hear us laughing and yelling.
Yeah.
But we put the baits down, and this is the other thing. that really intrigued me. We put our baits down. We reeled up really, really quickly, and we started jigging right underneath the ice. I've been doing a little experiment for the last year or two using Salooner tables, and there's a couple of apps that are pretty good. And when they call for bad days, they'll say, you know, 14% today, the fishing's going to be poor. I think when we see that a lot of times, folks think, well, I'm not going to see anything. We saw that fish under those kind of conditions last week. They're still there, but they're cruising through. And we knew he was there. We knew he was under the hut, and we knew he was kind of prowling around. He never came once and looked at our baits.
What does that mean?
I think it means that if we were in that super, super, you know, the Salooner tables say today's the day you get out, it's a 97% day, I bet he would have swung right around and nailed them.
Well, you know, it the question begs to be asked. You know, we often say that in those neutral or negative periods, the fish are dormant or inactive. But in this case, this fish sounds anything but inactive.
Yet, I think they cruise, Ange. I think they just cruise. They almost go for a stroll. And, you know, we've looked in I used to have a huge aquarium in the rec room downstairs. And I used to have northern pike in it, small bass, largemouth, smallmouth. And it's funny, we've all seen northern pike under the ice, or we've seen them at times. And you'll see a smallmouth bass with minnows, and they're all swimming together. They're all kind of eating and feeding. But then something happens, and it's as though the prey know all of a sudden, this isn't such good times coming. And I think those are the Salooner blips. I think those are the peak feeding periods. I think those when the good fishing times are there. And it's almost as though they know, and all of a sudden they go on alert. But it was really clear on Sunday. This guy was coming through. He was kind of prowling, but he was just out for a Sunday stroll.
Oh, fantastic, though. The visuals that you're giving me with that mentally is just incredible, because I can imagine those fins sticking out. White on the tip of those fins must have been spectacular. Good stuff.
We're fishing a natural lake, fishing a natural lake, so these aren't stocked fish. These are wild trout coming through. And the other really cool thing, when we got several trout, actually, we got a couple of beautiful ones. One of them was down in 65 feet of water, about 3 feet off the bottom, and another one came at about 40 feet, and here's one right under our boots. So, you know, we talk all the time about covering the water column, and we talk all the time as well. Not every fish in the lake is doing the same thing, and here we caught or saw at least three big fish all doing something different.
Yeah, I think you said something there that's really valuable. Not all fish in any given body of water are doing the same thing at the same time. So it is possible to find fish, for example, that are active in a body of water where most fish might not be. So that's the run and gun, you know, the whole run and gun aspect of fishing, why that became so popular in tournament fishing, for that very same reason. You know, if they're not active here, I got to find some active fish. And that happens every day, right?
Exactly, Ange. And you know, the other really cool thing, when we talk about running and gunning, people think if the fact that you move is going to, and it is, I mean, the fact that you move is upping your percent. But once you move, it's not just the fact that you're moving. You still need to cover that water column. You still need to go down to the bottom, you know, work that bottom 20 feet for 10 minutes or so, come up, work the middle column, and then come right under the ice when you're ice fishing like right now. It's not just the fact that you move. That's good. But now you've got to, once you've moved, you've still got to become really efficient and effective.
It sounds like you and Liam didn't even need sonar that day.
Well, that for that fish we didn't, but the one we dropped right down. So here we are, and this I swear is the honest truth. So now we're up right under the ice, Ange, looking at sonar in 65 feet of water. There's a blip goes through at 63, and it's still down there. He got down faster than I did. That trout just swung around and smashed his bait.
The young kid's beating you.
He is.
I love it. What's the latest blogs? Where can folks check you out, man?
Well, I got the first of the season for Ontario Tourism coming out on Monday. A really neat piece on speckled trout splake with Will Wegman. So check on nice. Ontario Tourism on Monday and OutdoorCanada.ca.
Thank you, my friend. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy. Say hi to Liam for us.
I sure will, Ange. Take care.
You too. Gord Pizer, The Doc, Outdoor Canada Magazine. If you don't have that being delivered to your home as we speak, man, holy mackerel, you're missing out on some goodies. OutdoorCanada.ca, check it out. That are it, Stephen. We are done. We're done. We're cooked.
For another week.
Yes, sir. On behalf of the entire ODJ radio team, Stephen Labadie, our producer, John Winters, who missed getting on the show today, our apologies to him. Derek Randale and Justin Ryan Manitad. I'm Angelo Viola. Have a great weekend, folks. We'll talk to you next Saturday.